greetings and a bodaciously delicious hello to you from rainy Vancouver, where the action never stops even as we change our socks. This is Tom coming to you with the December 2011 issue of Tomicide Solutions, fiendishly entitled 15 Ways Marketing Can Support Your Sales Success. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise, but in the final battle between the samurais and the emperor's army, both armies were equipped and trained really, really well. So how come the emperor's army won by a landslide, wiping out all the samurais? Well, the emperor's army was equipped relative to the current development of armory and military strategy. The samurais were well equipped relative to an age that no longer existed. They were doomed right from the beginning. And now imagine this situation in your business. Your salespeople are the samurais and the buyers are the emperor's army. Your salespeople try hard to penetrate your buyers' defenses, but they can't because buyers keep firing at your salespeople using modern-day weapons like voicemail, RFPs, gatekeepers, no solicitor signs, very high concrete walls, or even the killer rabbit of Kerbenog, as you may have seen it in Monty Python's Holy Grail. And your salespeople are falling like the samurais in the movie. Yes, you can hire more salespeople to replace the fallen ones who, after collecting some nasty battle wounds, have left your company. But soon the world runs out of brave salespeople with glutton for punishment, and you fall flat on your ass. What happens then? Or you can also look at Björn Borg's story, the Swedish tennis legend. After a truly spectacular career in 1983, he retired from professional tennis. And then in the early 1990s, he decided to return. Ignoring the advancements in racket technology, he returned to play with a wooden racket in an age when everyone else was playing with modern graphite rackets. And everyone beat him like the double bottom drum. He was still a better player than most people, but he was using the wrong tool. So the modern tool was available, but his sense of invincibility kept him losing. He was equipped with a racket whose age had long gone. So what is the lesson in Borg's story? The rules of the game had changed, but Borg tried to use a tool that was excellent under different rules, but totally useless under the new ones. For IT businesses many years ago, it was enough to assemble massive sales forces, chuck them out on the streets and have them roam the land and visit prospective clients with cups of coffee and boxes of donuts. That was an age when buyers were willing to talk to salespeople and consume all the free goodies. But that age is dead and gone. Buyers do their level best to avoid salespeople, and no amount of donuts can convince them to meet salespeople. And if we continue using old-fashioned client acquisition methods, rather sooner than later, we get you see, I've told you, and there's not a sausage you can do about it. So sellers, instead of just having armies of salespeople roam the land, have to resort to some smart methods to gain an audience with buyers who are willing to see them. And that approach is really marketing, but not the traditional institutional image marketing that big companies tend to use, wasting billions of dollars. As per copywriting legend, the late Gary Halbert, big companies' agenda for marketing and advertising can be summarized in a few points. Appeasing the board of directors with little marketing knowledge and lots of opinions. Pleasing the stockholders. Looking good to Wall Street. Looking appropriate to the media. Appearing politically correct to the public. Building brand identity and awareness, and winning advertising awards. And after all those things have been accomplished, maybe to sell something. Sadly, so many smaller organizations try to emulate this behemoth strategy. Hopefully, your agenda for marketing and advertising is to sell your stuff. What else would it be? What your salespeople need is not more and harsher threatening, coercing, cajoling, but better marketing to bring qualified buyers to them. When you have a good marketing turbocharger attached to your sales engine, then even your mediocre salespeople can perform miracles. You no longer have to tolerate demanding superstars and prima donnas. And what happens if they leave you and go to the competition? Nothing. Not a sausage. What I totally believe is that a mediocre sales force supported by good marketing will always outperform a superstar sales force without marketing support. This is why. Due to good marketing, the mediocre sales force can position itself as respected experts so the best buyers want to meet them. But a superstar sales force without marketing support is still perceived as a bunch of commission-hungry street peddlers and bazaar hucksters. And buyers will avoid them like the plague. Salespeople don't need motivation or sales contests. What they need is effective marketing which will bring quality buyers to them. No more chasing, begging for appointments and pleading for purchase orders. So here are 15 ways your marketing can support your sales efforts. 1. Marketing cuts a clear path between your company and your target market. As a result, by the time your salespeople contact their prospects, they are pre-interested, pre-motivated, pre-qualified, and predisposed to do business with your company. No, it's not a guaranteed sale, but prospects are willing to sit down with your salespeople and have discussions with them on a mutually beneficial basis. And the interactions between buyers and sellers don't escalate into antagonistic pissing contests. 2. Marketing can connect you with real buyers. Most decision makers instantly relegate salespeople to procurement agents who have one single focus: find the lowest bidder for every purchase and twist their arms for special terms and conditions. Unlike in government, where bureaucrats who lose their budgets unless they waste them to the last penny, basically. Unlike in government, where bureaucrats who lose their budgets unless they waste all of their money to the last penny, when procurement agents save their budgets, they get praised to the high heavens, get bonuses, and get promoted. Even if the products and services of lowest bidders make a mess of the area of the business that they are supposed to improve, purchasing agents are still praised and promoted for saving money. 3. Marketing creates a consistent framework for selling. There is no more flying by the seats of salespeople's pants, no more winging it. Yes, there is room for some improvisation, but there is absolutely no room for winging. There is a difference between improvisation and winging. Improvisation is winging within pre-agreed boundaries. Winging is just some random actions. For example, using a traffic example, improvisation is where you drive within your lane. Winging would be driving all over the place, hopping from lane to lane randomly. So hope you see the difference. 4, good marketing creates a kind of attractive buzz on the market. After each good campaign, the market's interest increases for your merchandise and its resistance for your high fees and prices decreases. Just think about how the internet marketing gurus make some pretty penny without managing expensive sales forces. They market so well that people buy their stuff without being visited by salespeople. 5. Good marketing is a buyer selector. It makes certain that only perfect client caliber prospects contact you in the first place, and others don't even waste your time. You can have a client roster that you're proud of. Every day, you look forward to working with any of your clients, and your clients are happy to work with you and pay your fees and prices without haggling or complaining. Number 6, marketing educates new salespeople about the sales process. In many IT companies, salespeople have to figure out how to do their jobs. Actually, the sales team is a misnomer. In most sales teams, team members would cut each other's throats for the other person's commissions. With marketing in place, each salesperson learns the same thing about the company, its products and services, and the target market, so salespeople can sing the same song in the same key and from the same song sheet. Number 7. Marketing equips salespeople with the right sales tools. This is the other side of consistency. Since salespeople are no longer winging their actions, they can be consistent relative both to their company's objectives and to each other. Number 8. Marketing can properly launch new products and services. This approach makes possible that by the time salespeople meet buyers, buyers are already aware of the new products and services. Furthermore, buyers have already expressed interest in them. Without marketing, products and services merely show up in our lives and we have no idea how to handle them. Marketing provides a kind of theater to launch new merchandise. Without this theater, no one pays attention. Number 9. Marketing keeps in touch with existing clients and less sales-ready prospects. Salespeople want to focus on prospects who are likely to become clients right now or very soon. They don't have time to stay in touch with hundreds or thousands of prospects who are not yet ready to buy. So marketing can automate this process and nurture the less sales-ready prospects. According to HubSpot's research, How to Use Lead Nurturing for Smarter Marketing by Magdalena Georgieva, nurtured emails get 4 to 10 times higher response rate than standalone email offers. Gleanster research estimates that 50% of all leads are qualified to buy but are not ready yet. If you force them to make buying decisions, they just leave you forever because they don't want to be forced. Number 10. Marketing can stay in touch even with small fry prospects. While salespeople go after juicy opportunities, marketing can take care of small fry and less likely prospects who are either not ready, or even if they get ready, they will be small fry clients. But even small items, small fry clients buying small products and services can add up, so it's worth staying in touch with them. Number 11. Marketing can hang in until a definite decision. We know from studies that it can take 5 plus contacts to convert a prospect to a buyer, while salespeople bail out after 2 or 3 contacts. Marketing, since it's automated, stays in all the way until prospects make a definite decision. No, we don't want to pester prospects to death. We just stay in touch with them using information that is valuable to them. Instead of sending out yet another sales pitch about your specially discounted antivirus program, send a guide on the art and science of selecting the right antivirus program, for example. And when the time is right, more people will buy your program without one penny discount. Not to mention that if you send out a guide like this antivirus guide, buyers start circulating this document among each other. So your name starts percolating in the marketplace. Number 12. marketing liberates salespeople from repetitive grunt work. While staying in touch is vital because it's repetitive grunt work, it should never be put on the shoulders of salespeople, expecting them to do it manually. Also, manual work means more inconsistencies. Just keep a small sales force so it can focus on ripened prospects that now need personal attention because they are so close to making their buying decisions. Using lovemaking lingo, marketing should perform the foreplay on autopilot, and sales should perform the act itself in person. And no salesperson should get involved until prospects have clearly demonstrated that they've had enough foreplay and now they are ready for their main act. But while this approach works in business, don't try it with your spouse because you may get dumped rather quickly. And that can be a rather shitty way of ending a relationship at the beginning of the new year. Number 13. Marketing can reach tens of thousands of prospects. While marketing can do the nurturing work on a virtually unlimited number of prospects, salespeople's capacity is limited. Yes, some sales trainers say you should hire more salespeople, but that's retarded. Even salespeople on straight commission, which I don't recommend anyway, cost money for the company. And the larger your sales force is, the smaller the productivity is, that is, sales per person. No amount of salespeople can do what an automated marketing program can do. It's that simple. Number 14. Marketing allows you to infiltrate new markets. Yes, a sales force can do that too. But at what price? It's like cutting down a tree with a nail file. Yes, it's doable, but it's idiotic. It takes only 2 weeks to craft a good direct mail piece and send it out to 10,000 people. How big of a sales force and how much time would it take to visit 10,000 prospects? Considering that at least 9,990 would do their best to avoid salespeople like the plague. Number 15, last but not least. Without marketing, a business is not really a business, but really a glorified hobby. Yes, many business owners argue about this issue, but it's all futile. Neither the marketplace nor the industry takes seriously business without marketing. Some people say good products and services don't need marketing. Maybe. But if you look closer, then you see Apple, Ferrari, and all the other good companies that do marketing. I wonder why. On summary, as Peter Drucker put it many years ago, there will always, one can assume, be need for some selling, but the aim of marketing is to make selling superfluous. The aim of marketing is to know and understand the customer so well that the product and service fits him and sells itself. This statement has been becoming truer year after year, although sales trainers with a vested interest in sales training rebel against it and insist on companies running massive sales forces. It reminds me of the dairy industry that insists that milk is one of the best sources of calcium and their dairy products must be included in rather large quantities in our daily meals. A few years ago, in one of Bob Bly's emails, I read a sales trainer's snarly comments to information marketers. Marketing is for people who can't sell. Then Bob also mentions that this sales trainer's bread and butter business is teaching people cold calling. He's the proverbial dairy farmer who insists that milk is a great source of calcium. Basically, he teaches salespeople how to interrupt strangers who try to avoid them like the plague, then how to trick them into listening to a total stranger's sales pitch about products and services which these interrupted people neither want nor need. the essence of traditional sales is to proactively seek people out and bombard them with sales pitches into submission and then take their money and run very far and very fast. It's a cynical comment, I know, but as a former soldier, I also like reality. Have you noticed that sales-heavy companies usually have shitty customer service? They just want to hog their stuff and then quickly move on to the next victims. Good marketing is about having self-selected people come to you on their own volition and buy your products and services. There is no force. Selling is about convincing. Marketing is about compelling. Good warriors make the enemy come to them. Warfare 101. Who comes to you has a force of emptiness, and you have the force of fullness. Attacking emptiness with fullness is always a great idea. Just think about it. Long-term military records indicate that a modern army scores one enemy fatality for every 15,000 combat rounds expended by its infantry. For snipers, the result is one fatal enemy fatality for every 1.2 rounds. That's a 12,500-fold improvement. Do you see why the military is willing to spend a small fortune to train snipers? The main army operates on emptiness, chasing after the enemy. Snipers operate on fullness, having the enemy come to them. No, don't kill your prospects. But see the difference in the approach. Also think about what aggressive selling would do to your market positioning. It would ruin it, and sooner or later the market would laugh at you saying,
"Hey, you're bad, Jack. Hey, you're screwed.
Oh well, the market would be happy because now one competitor is out of the race. Case in point, would you go to a Rolling Stones concert if someone on the other end of the phone introduced himself as Mick Jagger and tried to sell you a ticket through a cold call? I reckon anyone above the intelligence level of a stink bug with advanced Alzheimer's would smell the rat in the situation. Am I saying that sales trainers have their intelligence levels below that of the stink bug with advanced Alzheimer's? Not necessarily. They are just trying to sell their existing expertise even though its time is dead and gone. No surprise here. Hey, I've seen a good number of stores still selling Walkmans. And I have certainly seen lots of people buy gallons of milk because they think milk is a great source of calcium. They should read Dr. Joseph Mercola and get their beliefs sorted out, but that's their choice. So, after Dickie Birds, Mick Jagger, stink bugs and milk, it's time to end this masterpiece. Wish you a happy new year and buzz off until next month. So I do that. Happy new year and have a great and prosperous business in 2012.